Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, and those of you who may not be of the Muslim faith, my beloved brothers and sisters in humanity, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In discussing Hajj or the pilgrimage, it may seem that the Hajj is the performance of particular rituals by Muslims in the holy city of Mecca at a particular time of the year. But Hajj is much more than mere the performance of rituals or the mere performance of rituals in Mecca at a particular time. For each place visited has its own significance, and each act which is performed, each religious duty has its significance. Therefore, when we look at the Hajj and analyze the Hajj, we'll realize that there is a historical dimension, a spiritual dimension, a religious dimension, as well as a social dimension, and of course, a political dimension to it as well. So the Hajj is not a one-dimensional activity, but rather a multi-dimensional act which has multifaceted aspects to it, each one of which is significant. When you look at Hajj, the word Hajj literally implies intention to visit, the intention to visit a significant place, an important place, the holy place. But terminologically, Hajj refers to the performance of religious acts at prescribed times, at particular places, in a specific manner. And each one of these intertwined with one another, the religious acts at prescribed times, at particular places, in a specific manner, have their own significances and add to the religious nature and the spiritual nature of Hajj, which is, of course, a fundamental pillar of Islam. As an act, it is obligatory, or what we call fard. And the Quran says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And Allah has made Hajj an obligation upon all of humanity, for those who are able to perform it. Ability to perform, of course, refers to the physical ability somewhat, but more to the economic ability, as well as the circumstances that facilitate the performance of Hajj. Of course, it is obligatory upon all of mankind, all of humanity, but there are certain requirements to be met and fulfilled before people qualify. And amongst the qualifications that has been said is that a person who wishes to perform the pilgrimage should be of the Muslim faith, believe in Allah, believe in all the prophets, including the fact that Prophet Muhammad is the final of his messengers. So as an act, it's an obligatory duty or fard. As in significance, it is a rukn of Islam or a pillar of Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, in a very well-known tradition, said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ وَحِجُّ الْبَيْتِ لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That Islam is founded on five, or as Muslims say, the five principles or five pillars. Belief in Allah, the first without a beginning and the last without an ending, Allah the absolute and the perfect. And belief in the emissaries which He has sent throughout history, from Adam, peace be upon him, and all the prophets who have come, the final one of which is Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all his prophets. Then the performance of the prescribed prayer, salah, the performance or fulfillment of the social welfare tax or zakah, as well as the fasting in the month of Ramadan, and of course the pilgrimage. These are the five pillars of Islam. As a tradition, it is a continuation and perpetuation of the tradition of our great forefather, Prophet Abraham or Ibrahim, may Allah's peace be upon him. And he was the one who proclaimed the pilgrimage. And today we are continuing that tradition and responding to that command which Allah instructed him to convey when he said, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah instructed Abraham to command, to instruct people to perform the pilgrimage, and Allah promised that people will come from every part of the world by every means of transport. And of course, we are continuing the tradition. Of course, that verse is quoted from the Quran. On the verse is from the surah or the chapter called Al-Hajj, which is the pilgrimage, documenting the communication of Abraham to the people which Allah commanded him and instructed him to convey. As a virtue, the Hajj, if duly performed with propriety, cleanses one of all one's sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him, said, "Man hajja wa lam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladatu ummu." That the person who performs the Hajj and is not vulgar in any way, you know, not involving in any form of evil or wickedness or impropriety, such a person performing a Hajj duly performed returns like a newborn baby, free of all sins. When we look at the specific deeds and acts that are performed and the specific places that we go to on the pilgrimage, we realize there are tremendous amount of significances attached to these. First of all, we find that once you enter the precincts, you wear what we call the ihram, the cloak, the garb. But actually it's supposed to be a garb of piety. A symbolic reference to the humility before the Creator. The same kind of garb, a similar garb with which you are buried, two pieces of cloth. And here, there is removal of all arrogance, of all haughtiness, of all pride, of all position, of all authority. Whoever we are, king or pauper, rich or poor, we come to the court of Allah, it seems, as beggars, humble, recognizing His grandeur, and how small we are in the face of His Majesty. So the idea of wearing the ihram, which is an obligatory part of the pilgrimage, removing all our arrogance and haughtiness and whom we think we are, and coming in the presence of Allah, wearing one garb, same color, same manner. We go to Makkah, to Masjid al-Haram, and this is the place where Allah says, "Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Makkah mubarakaw wa hudan lil-'alamin." This is the first place established from the time of Abraham and subsequently re-established by Abraham, by Adam in fact, originally. The first place established by Adam, peace be upon him. And then re-established by Abraham and then recommitted to the worship of one Allah, one God, by Prophet Muhammad. This is the first place established for humankind, for the benefit of human beings, for the purification of man and human beings from all forms of evil and corruption, from evils of thought, from evils of different ideologies and philosophies, but to the truth. And that's why Allah says, the Kaaba, which is the centerpiece of that Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque, Allah says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتُ الْحَرَامِ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah made the Kaaba a sacred place for the uprising, for the rejuvenation of human beings and humankind. We find that the most significant part of the pilgrimage in itself is the coming together of people on the 9th of Zilhijjah, the 9th of the month of Zilhijjah, on the plains of Arafat. Arafat is an open plain, is not a city. There are no inhabitants living there. We come together at Arafat at a particular time on a particular day. We come together on the 9th of Zilhijjah. And we have to be there at least for a moment, preferably for the most of the day, until sunset. And the Prophet said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. And Arafah means to know, to get to know. And here we get to know ourselves, to recognize our shortcomings, to recognize the majesty of God in our relationship with God, and where we stand in relation to people. And therefore we come together, and the most significant part of the Hajj is not in Makkah in itself, nor in the performance of particular prayers or rituals, but just being there with the rest of humanity who are performing the pilgrimage on that plain of Arafah, in that two pieces of cloth, in that ordinary garb, the cloak of piety, the cloak of humility. And that Arafah is to get to know ourselves. As has been said, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah." That person who gets to know himself or herself gets to know his or her creator. So this is the significant part of Arafah. The most central part of the pilgrimage is performed on a plain, a place which become a metropolitan city within one day, and only for one day of the year. The day thereafter, there is no Arafah. Arafah somewhat is an indication, you know, for those who pray individually, as we know in Islam, is preferable to pray in congregation. The prayer in congregation is better than prayer on one's own. And then we are obligated once a week, at least on Friday, to pray in congregation. the Jum'ah prayer, which means the prayer of congregation. So we are obligated at least once a week to pray in congregation. Once in a lifetime, we are obligated to go to Mecca to meet with all those people who are performing the pilgrimage, to be at a particular place at a particular time. So the prayer at home is a mind, is a prayer on its own. A prayer in congregation is an extended and enhanced prayer in congregation. Then the congregational prayer on Friday is a larger congregation. The meeting on Arafah is almost as if it is a big Friday congregational prayer. It's not necessarily on a Friday, but whichever day it occurs on the 9th of Zulhijjah. And that Arafah is a reminder of the gathering on the Day of Judgment. So each one is a reminder of the other. Arafah reminds us of the Day of Judgment. Friday ought to remind us, the congregational prayer on Jummah should remind us of the Arafah. And each one, the indication of our life, the fact that life is transitory, that eventually we will have to go to the court of Allah, humble, and all that counts is our good deeds, which we have done in this world. So when we look at the Hajj, each act and each place has a purpose. It serves as a reminder to the mindful, a lesson to the heedful, exhortation to those who are faithful. It is instruction to those who are dutiful, and a source of inspiration and reflection to those who are wise. Of course, each and every person of faith would like to perform the pilgrimage. What are the prerequisites for one to perform the pilgrimage? One of the great scholars of Islam, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, has extracted from the Quranic principles and guidance of the prophetic tradition, extracted from there some of the prerequisites for one to perform the pilgrimage. First of all, ikhlasun niyyah. There must be sincerity of intention. And we know in Islam, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, all actions are evaluated and judged according to the intention. So intention precedes the actions. Secondly, kasbul halal. The earning or sustaining of oneself by means of lawful income and lawful food and lawful drink. And as the Prophet said, kasbul halali or talabul halali, faridun ba'd al-fara'id. The seeking or the searching or the acquiring of halal to sustain oneself, whether food, drink, clothing, the means whereby we sustain ourselves is an obligation like the other obligations that we have. And that is why we must be very cautious that the kind of money that we use, the finances that we use to finance our pilgrimage, must be pure, as should all our activities and all our deeds be. Thirdly, there must be a commitment to purify oneself, to abstain. اجتنبوا قول الزور وعمل السوء, as Imam Ghazali says, avoid false speech and false behavior and wrongful action. For after all, when you go to Mecca, if we want to come back as a newborn baby, we must leave the evil parts of our old self behind. That is why when we take off the clothes and put on the ihram, we take off our old self and come back as a new person. If we come back with all our arrogance, our haughtiness, our chauvinism and racism, then we have not changed at all and only performed mere rituals and come back. So the idea is to commit ourselves to a program of change, to improve ourselves and to remove all those forms of evil that we are aware of. Then also to avoid all forms of wrongful speech and wrongful behavior. The Prophet said, "Man hajja wa lam yarfud wa lam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladatu ummu." A tradition which I mentioned, that if you perform a hajj duly performed, without any lewdness, crudeness or vulgarity, you come back as a newborn baby. And that should be kept in mind. Then there is the aspect of moderation, or al-mudara. Al-mudaratu min al-iman, the Prophet said, moderation is part of faith. That we don't become extreme in what we do. Don't overdo. Don't become overzealous in what we do. Be enthusiastic. But don't do more than we can bear. We have to eat, we have to fast, we have to drink. We have to be conscious of the fact that we are on a journey, that we are in a foreign place, that we have to be physically fit as far as possible, mentally alert. So we need to take rest, eat. We cannot pray all the time, or sleep all the time for that matter. But be aware that we are moderate in what we do, not to go beyond the limits in whatever we do. And of course, one of the other points is zad, is to take sufficient provision. And provision not only as far as finances are concerned and clothing and maybe all the other things that go with it, the means of transport and so on, but also to be able to go with purity of intention and with the purpose of elevating ourselves And as the Quran says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, prepare yourself, take provision. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best provision you can take with is piety and God consciousness. So we go with the idea of God consciousness and come back with enhanced God consciousness. Once we have these kinds of prerequisites, sincerity of intention, going with lawful income, making a commitment to avoid all forms of evil, not indulging in any forms of vulgarity and removing any haughtiness or arrogance, at the same time also being moderate in what we do and taking provision which is required, but most important, taking the provision of piety and coming back perhaps inshallah with an enhanced sense of God consciousness. So when we analyze the Hajj and evaluate all its dimensions, we realize that it is absolutely significant. It's a unique tradition, as well as it's the largest annual convention of faith. It's the largest annual convention of faith, something which has been continuing from the time of Prophet Muhammad till today, and inshallah, God willing, till the end of time. So it's the largest annual convention of faith. And it is a convention in response to the call of Abraham, and subsequently the call of Prophet Muhammad, and so on, and a perpetuation of that tradition. Secondly, it's a wholesome demonstration of the brotherhood and sisterhood of Islam. The wholesome demonstration of equality and universality of Islam. Equality in that we all come there as equals. No one has a privilege over the other. Secondly, we come in simple garbs. We all look the same. Thirdly, we come from all parts of the world, and that universal dimension is brought forth. So all the people performing the pilgrimage at a particular place, at a particular time, doing particular things in a particular manner, in a particular garb. That is a tremendous thing. Then of course, it is a means of identifying ourselves with the commitment and spirit of past prophets and pious people. Here we are enacting somewhat. It's a reenactment of fundamental aspects of our history. For example, we perform some of the acts when we go around making tawaf of the Kaaba. This is what the angels do, what Abraham did, what Prophet Muhammad did. Then, for example, we run between Safa and Marwa. It's the running of Hajira, searching for water for son Ishmael, peace be upon both of them. So some of these are particularly enactments of the fundamental aspects of our history. It also acquaints us with the historic and religious reality and the spiritual environment in which Abraham lived, Ismail lived, and Prophet Muhammad lived. May Allah's peace be upon all of them. So we get acquainted with the real spiritual environment, the physical environment in which they lived. And of course, as I mentioned early on, it is a reminder of the Grand Assembly that we get together as brothers and sisters in faith, and reminds us that time to come in the afterlife, where each and everyone will be held accountable for their deeds individually in the plane of God. Here in Mecca, on Arafah, all those who perform the pilgrimage for that year gather together, the largest annual convention of faith. But it's a reminder of the great convention when we meet in the assembly of God, each one answerable for their deeds. That is why, when we look at the Hajj, the Prophet said, "Al-Hajj al-Mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah." A Hajj duly performed with propriety, an accepted Hajj, and Hajj and pilgrimage acceptable to God, duly performed for such a Hajj, for such a pilgrimage, there's no reward except paradise itself. May Allah grant all those who have been to pilgrimage, may Allah accept the Hajj and make them of those who are the people of paradise. And those who have not been there, may Allah grant them the opportunity and the honor of visiting the holy place. I thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.